This is GamesAtWork.biz with Phaedra Boinodiris, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, and not the opinions of any organization which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with.
This is episode 135, Hear Hear for the Hearables. Hello, everyone. This is Michael Martin coming to you from a pollen-filled end of March here in North Carolina, where I'm just delighted to be with you and with my co-host, Michael Rowe. How are you today, good sir?
Oh, peachy keen, as all the cars and ground and everything outside gets to become this nice combination neon yellow, neon green, pollen-infested crud.
Yeah, I don't remember it being this bad as a kid. Like many other things, I just didn't pay attention to this stuff when I was a kid either.
Could be.
It's everywhere. It's in the house. It's on the cars. It's in my nose. I know you can hear that. but we're here to have a great show, and we've got a few really kind of cool things for our Games at Work audience this week. The first of which is one that is a little bit relevant considering it's March Madness time. And that is a bot, a Twitter bot, that our friend of the show and friend of you and mine, you and me both, Andy Piper, shared with us, the tweet bot called Nixie Bot, N-I-X-I-E bot. And so what Nixie Bot is a series of vacuum tubes that have these neon clock display elements, and if you tweet it the appropriate syntax, it will play back for you and make a little movie for you of whatever it is that you asked it to do.
And what is that appropriate syntax?
Well, that's pretty good. If you go to the Tumblr guide, it will tell you exactly what it is. So, like, if you want to scroll, there's a command for scrolling. If you want to separate, you need to put a period, I believe, in between each of the words that you have. So a couple of different things. You should go take a look at it. It took me only, I think, 3 tries to get done what I wanted to do because the length that it could contain in a command was only limited. I don't remember how many characters it was, but it couldn't do unlimited 140 characters worth of stuff. Excuse me. So I did a quick version of my favorite college basketball team finishing first in their league, both in the regular season and the tournament championship. So that was kind of fun to get that to actually show up and be right.
Very cool.
So bots are the thing these days. Bots are the thing. But let's get to the titular element of this particular podcast. Actually, we're not getting to that yet, but
no, we're not.
Well, wait. There's more. That's coming a little bit later. The next thing is a very much a Back to the Future kind of moment, and one that we have enjoyed looking at and checking out and talking about before, but it seems like we are now getting more and more close to the commercially viable self-tying shoes from Nike. So the self-tying shoes they're calling them hyper-adapt trainers. You got to plug in your shoes so that they don't lose their charge. But it looks like you're going to be able to get yourself a pair of those Marty McFly Back to the Future shoes that will lace up for you and get tight.
Yeah, I think what would be really, really cool is if it used the kinetic energy of running to charge the shoe.
I know. I thought the same thing, Michael. I was like, why couldn't you do that, right? You're moving around just like you would with a clock on your wrist. You know, why couldn't that generate enough electricity to keep the shoe charged?
Exactly, because there's lots of energy there, right?
Yes, yes.
But I guess it would also then have to power the fancy blue swishy thing on the bottom, right?
Yeah.
Which might be, you know, just too much to ask for.
Yeah, and you know what? It does have a 2-week-ish lifespan for the battery. So with that, it's not like you have to charge your shoes every night. But super cool.
Yes.
I would like to have a pair like this, to be honest. I really would.
And as you can tell, my squirrel sense is tingling because I'm trying to send out the Nixie bot. trying to get one that would be appropriate for our show.
Oh, yeah.
To say, hey, you know.
Gamesatwork.biz.
And I guess you need to put an underscore.
Like I said, it took me 3 tries to do it, and that was after I was reading the Tumblr feed.
Yes. So let's give this another shot, because it would be really nice to be able to, you know, have that as an animated GIF in the top of our show notes page with where you know, all our listeners go to and constantly comment and provide good feedback and all the other goodness.
Yeah, exactly. Because we know we're making good radio right now. For people going, okay, what other things are they trying to do? All right, so now we can get to the titular element, because this is next in our show list here. So the titular element is around hearables. And you might say, wait a minute, Michael, I know all about wearables and Internet of Things. What the heck is a hearable? Well,
so
you found it. Well, tell us about hearables. I'm all ears.
Okay. And you know what it did? Sorry. It changed it to the Twitter URL shortener. That's why I was like, why is it doing https://t. Oh, really? Too funny. Okay, so hearables. So in the Internet of Thingsy world, right? It's all about connecting and collecting, right? Connecting things and collecting data, and then doing cool advanced analytics and stuff of that nature. Yeah. Well, this morning, no, yesterday morning, I was grabbing my coffee, and one of the locals came up to me and goes, "Look at this," and I was like,
"Ooh,
looks like a black box. What do you looks like a pager?" And they're like, no. And I said, oh, it opens. So I opened it up, and inside were these 2 black earbuds that looked kind of like hearing aids. But they had a shiny gloss black finish. And I could tell that there was light that could come out through this. And what these are is earbuds that are noise canceling. They have a built-in storage for music and a built-in music player. They check your pulse based off of sensors inside the ear. They have an altimeter in it, so they can check, you know, how high up and down you are going.
Wow.
And they have a motion detector in it, so they can do step counts. And they're completely waterproof, so you can use them while swimming. So here it is, earbuds that, oh, by the way, they also have noise canceling, active noise canceling capabilities, as well as a built-in bone inductive microphone.
Right.
Oh. So you can use them to talk on the phone. You can listen to your music. You can exercise with them. You can collect the data and store that into the application. So the difference between a wearable and a hearable is a wearable that leverages the ear canal and also provides some kind of auditory feedback. And so I was talking with a group that I do work with that's been doing some really cool stuff with wearables, and I was like, oh, man, have you seen this? And they went, oh, yeah, we're getting a couple. So the device is called the Dash. The name of the company is Braggy. And I mean, this is really, really cool. The person who showed it to me on Thursday, she's like, yeah, I supported the Kickstarter 3 years ago.
Oh my goodness.
And so it's now available. She just got it, and she goes, I wasn't thinking about the active and passive noise canceling. I was sitting there at work, and I was, you know, listening to some music, and my phone rang, and I picked up the phone, and I started talking to somebody, and I could hear them fine, and they could hear me, and then I hung up the phone, and I realized I never took them out of my ear. And I could hear my music, but it dropped it down, So it wasn't overpowering. I could hear the conversation because it uses an active technology to understand that you're talking with somebody.
Right.
And bringing in their voice over the regular handset. I mean, office phone, right?
No way.
And I was like, oh man, that's cool. That's cool.
Wow.
Yeah. That was.
That's pretty cool.
Really cool.
That's really, I mean, so it was playing the music, but lower. So like if we were doing, you know, our recording right here with these, it could still be playing, you know, in the background, you know, like Warp 11 or something.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
And all for the low, low price of $299.
Yes. And I was thinking, you know, I have existing noise-canceling earbuds, and that's the price.
Yeah.
So to have that plus all this other stuff
is pretty slick.
Is pretty slick. So
pretty slick indeed. And it looks like it comes with all these different ear canal sizing elements too.
Yes.
So they also appear that they light up. Is that true? So that people can see that you're hearing something and that they know that when they're trying to say, but I need to know about it. They can see, you can point at your ear and it's lit up so that they know that they can't hear a thing you're saying.
Yes.
Fan frickin' tastic.
So this is why, you know, I just think it's a really neat way of extending, right? So originally we had, you know, augmented reality glasses like Google Glass, and they use an inductive speaker system for picking up your voice, inductive microphone, and you had little earbuds that you can put in, or you could use the speaker so you could hear. Now, why even have a display over your eyes when you can just have a feedback mechanism directly in your ear?
So don't remember which Neal Stephenson book this is in.
All of them.
Probably. But would it be cool if you could use this in conjunction with Siri? So you're kind of like muttering under your breath the spell, and then the thing happens that you want to have happen. Like, you know, hey, Siri, play on my Apple TV Apollo 13.
And we didn't actually say that on this podcast, because if you're listening to it in a public place where you have Siri hooked up, you don't want to launch your Apple TV and start using and watching that movie.
Yeah, I know, but you see where I'm going, though, right?
Oh, I'm there, man.
This is sort of the next sort of thing that says, okay, now being able to do something a little bit different, set language Russian, you could do some nifty stuff that way if it were to allow for not just call placement, but for interaction, voice-based interaction with your computing system.
Yes.
And you could do that on linkages to your computer too, right? So it didn't have to be a phone. You could Bluetooth connect to your computer and work it that way.
You know, that's a good question.
I'm full of good questions.
Is a good question.
I'm impressed. I think this could be super cool.
And speaking of Kickstarters.
Yes.
So, gosh, I think it's been about a year and a half, maybe two. I supported a Kickstarter called L Street 1976. And you may say, but Michael, what is L Street 1976?
But Michael, what's L Street 1976?
Yeah, I keep saying street, but
yeah, there's no T at the end of that.
Yes, I know. And it's funny because there's a song by the Buggles who did the song Video Killed the Radio Star.
Yeah.
About L Street, remember me. I played a part in a B-movie, right? Is part of the lyric line.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I didn't make the two connections until this Kickstarter. So L Street is where they filmed Star Wars.
The original one, yeah.
So back in 1976, the one that came out in 1977. And this is a documentary of the people in the masks. So he's talking and interviewing like Stormtrooper number 3 and all these people who were actors in the original Star Wars.
Right.
And what's really interesting about it is the way the Kickstarter was supposed to work, the backers would get first access to the movie.
Right.
Well, in order, we haven't seen it yet. what I've discovered on Kickstarter is, as much as you want to back movies of things that are interesting, right? My first one was a Devo authorized documentary. Mm-hmm. That is still not out because the band Devo has had like people die and editorial control and not liking the edit. That one's been going on for like 4+ years now. This one, the team has been struggling with distribution rights. And as they've locked them down in different geographies,
right.
The distributors are holding off the ability for people to get the cut of the movie.
Right.
Until it becomes publicly available, which is kind of defeats the purpose. Hey,
yeah.
The Kickstarter, you're going to have early access. So, I'm really looking forward to it. I really am. I'm okay that we don't have first access. But it's really cool.
This is all the folks behind the mask. So he's like talking to the Cantina band members and
yeah, it's four or five different actors that he talks to.
Yeah.
So you get David Prose, who was Darth Vader,
right,
in the suit. Paul Blake, who was Greedo.
Mm-hmm.
Angus McInnes, who was an X-Wing pilot.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So it's different people behind the masks. So, yeah, it's just really cool. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, that'll be a lot of fun to see once you can.
Once I can, right. But the director and producers of the movie have been very, very open on the trials and tribulations of how they're trying to get this thing out through Kickstarter. Obviously, there's some stuff that they can't share, right? Because you're in legal negotiations, and they state that we're doing some stuff we can't share right now in this space. So, right. Again, really, really looking forward to this once it comes out. There's a trailer in the link that we'll have in the show notes that I highly recommend you spend some time and take a look at that because I just think it's cool.
So I've not done a lot of Kickstarter support of movies either, but one that I did not so long ago is one called Meet the Patels, and I was attracted to this a little bit because those guys are the folks who filmed it. One of them was a graduate of my high school, so I kind of found out about it that way. And this is just a really funny movie about what it's like for an Indian guy to get married. And the kind of it's a romantic comedy, maybe not romantic comedy,
also known as a rom-com.
It's not really a romantic comedy when you think about it, because it's just like, okay, what is this guy getting himself involved in? But I highly recommend it. It was just a lot of fun. It was very funny. And if you are so inclined, I will make sure we have a show note link there as well.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. So, we had another link, did we not?
No, did we?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
What was that?
The one that our gamesatwork.biz site tweeted out earlier this week on the virtual reality startup Fove, F-O-V-E. And it's interesting. I've been following a couple of different
That's right.
Podcasts lately about, you know, PlayStation 4 has announced their virtual reality bundle. It's like $399, $499 when you actually put the controllers in and the camera, which you need in order to do anything. You've got the Oculus Rift is shipping as of right now. The first one's production models are coming out to people on Monday, et cetera. And one of the big things that's going on is how will people interact? Right. And, you know, you've got your headset, but there's all these different tools, you know, different things to hold in your hand? Do you use a game controller? Do you have gloves? The one that we talked about that I saw at CES a year plus ago, where they had the 360 degree treadmill, mm-hmm. so you can move, etc. Well, this is yet another one looking at different ways of doing this, and what they're doing is looking at leveraging eye tracking.
Ooh.
As a means for control inside the virtual environment.
Right.
So what is the most natural way to interact?
Watching where your eyes go, of course.
Well, I don't know. Maybe. I do find it interesting, though, trying to figure out how can you best cause a virtual reality environment to be interactive without doing unnatural things to make it interactive.
Right.
So, find it interesting. Don't know anyone who's actually seen this one in person yet. Maybe our good buddies over at Real Illusion, Senior Martin, might have seen this at GDC. It was launched in 2014, back at Disrupt Conference in San Francisco. They did a Kickstarter on it, et cetera. But then they're now looking at fall 2016 delivery of these headsets. And they've got real-time investors now. So this is good.
Wow. And look how it's set up. It's got the head strap over the top of your head and the back of your head. I guess they've probably discovered that people were turning a little too quickly and the thing would zoom off their head maybe, huh?
Well, I figured not only that, but maybe just the weight.
Oh, that could be too.
Of that front unit really driving.
It's 400 grams. So, I mean, it shouldn't be that much, but still, it's more than a pair of glasses, right?
You got that right.
Yeah. So, very interesting.
I thought this was a neat one and definitely something that we'd want to let our listeners find out about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, with that, I think we are about at time, Michael.
I think we are. And by the way, we appreciate all the people who posted the ratings on iTunes for us. We could use more because you got to hit a certain threshold before they start showing up.
Yes, exactly. So would appreciate that. Before we close, Michael, any particular games you're playing now that you'd like to share?
That I'd like to share.
Well, I don't know. Maybe there's ones that you don't want to share, and I'm interested in what those are, too.
Yes, I'm trying to think. I have not had any time to play anything new lately, other than what we talked about last week on the show, and I know you weren't.
Yeah.
You weren't available then, but yeah, no, nothing.
Yeah, so I don't have much that I can share that's brand spanking new, but I'll give you some for the show notes. I think I've already talked about here before the Tomb of the Mask. I believe I've done that.
That was so actually two episodes ago. Yep.
And then the other one that I've
and been I played playing, with it a little bit.
Yeah, so it can be a little annoying, but I've played it some and I find it fun. The other one I played with a little bit, and this is also on a little on the annoying scale too. The game is called Hopiko, Hopiko, or Hopiko, could be pie. I don't know. This one is you go inside of a computer and you've got to maneuver around things inside the computer to free your buddies, basically.
Well, that sounds cool.
But it's like
at least the story sounds cool. The gameplay would be the
gameplay
part.
Is a little challenging, but it's I've played it a little bit and it's been kind of fun. And I'm trying to keep myself away from games that have all the in-app purchases sort of stuff. So I will give a version of this to the show notes so that you can find it and try it out and make your own choice for yourself.
Excellent.
All right. Well, with that, I think we need to wrap ourselves up for the day.
Sounds good. And everybody, appreciate the feedback and keep commenting, posting, tweeting, and all that other good stuff.
Absolutely. All right.
See ya.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at gamesatwork_biz or at our website at gamesatwork.biz.